recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome back to another tremendous episode of X-Ray with Dr. Tom. Dr. Tom, how are you on this beautiful fall morning?
I couldn't think of a better fall morning where to be or where I could be other than Knoxville, Tennessee, and talking to you. I love it. And Halloween's right around the corner. One of my favorite holidays. I can't wait for people to go out dressed as Dr. X and Mr. Wrestling 2 and the they don't exist anymore. So I guess it's Rey Mysterio and whoever else, Roman Reigns and all those guys. So I know Seth Rollins dressed as Sting when he was a kid for Halloween. So
there you go.
I know these things. Yeah. Nice day in Knoxville too, by the way.
But buddy, this is ad-free shows and it's all wrestling nostalgia. This is the audience. We did a Top Guy meet and greet Q&A. Lots of top guys were on, asked you lots of questions. You spent more than enough time, required time with all of them. And there was a huge buzz about, hey, we need Dr. Tom more in our lives, by the way. I will tell you that.
Let me just say this. There's the only required time is the time I'm on. So anytime anybody wants to talk to me, I take it as, wow, thank you very much. Because not a whole lot of people do these days, Paul.
Well, buddy, you have a lot of fans over at Ad Free Shows. So that was a great time. But one of the matches that we're going to cover in our sessions, and we, a little peek behind the curtain, we record a few sessions when we get together, but one of our sessions that we're going to do in an upcoming episode is a match that was mentioned on that Top Guy Q&A. So the point is, give us suggestions. Dr. Tom and I are always looking for match suggestions, and that match will be an old classic world-class championship wrestling match. But today, we're here to go back to the 80s, and we're watching two guys that you're very familiar with, and that's Macho Man and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, both of these guys, second and third generation wrestlers, Savage especially, was one of those guys that was stuck in Lexington, Kentucky, pardon me. And his family couldn't break out. They broke away, as a matter of fact, from the mainstream wrestling community, the NWA at the time, and got stuck right in the middle of Kentucky and couldn't go anywhere, just blackballed for life. But as we see, nothing's forever, or there's no such thing as for life. There's no such thing as being blackballed forever. That's a very, very long time. And Randy Savage had all the talent in the world and finally broke out, got his opportunity in Memphis, Tennessee, to work with the King and Bill Dundee, the rivals they've had all these years while they were stuck in Lexington, Kentucky, and made his way to the top in WWE. And Ted DiBiase is another guy who, as a second-generation wrestler, came up and had that natural ability. He was that guy who you didn't have to talk a lot to. He just had that second-nature feeling to it. And I think that has a lot to do with growing up around the Funks and, of course, his father, Mike DiBiase. So this is going to be an excellent, excellent match between two guys who really understand the art of professional wrestling.
Well, Dr. Tom, we're going to jump right into it today, and I just launched the match. This is from Saturday night's main event, March 12th, 1988. If you want to pull it up and watch it on Peacock, we have it here for that second screen experience, if you will, with Dr. Tom and I kind of sitting here in the booth watching along. Hopefully, you get a chance to watch it on video with us. But there he is, Macho Man in all his glory, the beautiful cape with the beautiful. When I say beautiful, I can't leave out Miss Elizabeth.
You know, Liz wasn't necessarily the first valet ever in professional wrestling, but I believe she's probably the most high profile, certainly in the 80s and 90s, in not just WWE, but WCW. And here you see another icon to add flavor to this match, Andre the Giant walking down the ring. But Liz was certainly the perfect, not sidekick, but the perfect valet, the perfect person to be in that spot with Macho Man, because Randy was that guy. Whatever you saw on screen, he was just as intense backstage. And what you saw on screen with DiBiase, that cool, smooth demeanor, that was also him backstage.
She Teddy complimented was very, him very well.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes. I have to agree. And this is going to be a match between two guys who came up in the territory era, but that was a key element back then. Most of the guys, in fact, all of the guys, I'll go out on a branch here to say all of the guys who are in a top position. If you watch this spot right here between Virgil and Macho, this is setting up for something later on in the match, but also a distraction for DiBiase to kick Savage in the back. And that's the art of this. It was a simple cutoff to begin the match. You didn't have to circle and weren't going to get into a whole lot of hammer locks and headlocks. This is a rivalry, and it's on Saturday Night Main Event on NBC. So everybody was watching, and they knew they had to get to the action quick and sustain it throughout so people didn't tune out. And I got to tell you, both of these guys are stars during this time. They look the part, and they are the part.
Yeah, I mean, these are probably two of the top workers in the WWF at this time when you talk about in-ring work.
I'm going to say these are two of the top workers in the world at this time, especially. Ted DiBiase has always been great. From day one, he had that it factor. He's got the size. He had the look. He has the voice. He knew how to talk. He knew how to get people interested in the match. And DB or Macho Man also understood the showmanship, and he had the power, he had the strength, and he looked the part. So this was a great combination, great matchup. DiBiase knew how to be the million-dollar man to a fault, and Randy understood as a babyface. In this match, there's your key elements, taking their time. This is the national television broadcasting TV, as you say. And both of these guys understand they are going to be representing WWE, and they're going to be representing two of the best in the business.
Here you see Andre shoving Randy back in. But Ted DiBiase, talk about a guy that, given a gimmick, given the million-dollar man brand and gimmick, if you will, and there's really no better way to say it. My goodness, did he make it his own or what? If you only knew him from the WWF, that's the only thing you think of when you think of him. If you didn't know him from Mid-South or, you know, his days down there with Bill Watts and Jim Ross, and this is all you ever knew of him, you only know him as the million-dollar man, and he connected and really did an unbelievable job with that gimmick.
Well, and that's the key here. Teddy was not, he wasn't a one-trick pony. He didn't just need a gimmick to go into WWE. Watch his in-ring work. Watch his timing, his pacing, as well as Savage. Both of these guys understood it was second nature to them to get in the ring and just go. You didn't have to call a whole lot with these guys. Again, DiBiase was on top wherever he went, and it was mainly in Louisiana, Mid-South, and Texas, and that area up until, hell, Atlanta, Georgia. He was a top guy in every sense of the word. But he didn't need a gimmick to be a successful wrestler. Not. But he did get this gimmick, and you're right, he made it his own. He manifested the million-dollar man. Into being himself, yes, into who that guy is. And when you think of a million-dollar man now, especially, you look at Ted DiBiase, and I don't know if there would be anybody out there to consider even more other than, and I've heard this name bantered around, don't know how seriously, but Gino Hernandez at one time was thought to be the perfect candidate for that gimmick. But unfortunately, for Gino, it went to Ted. And here is the timing. Here is the storytelling. You have Andre the Giant, who listed at 7'4", over 500 pounds, coming to ringside. You have Virgil at ringside. You have Miss Elizabeth. All these outside forces, so to speak, and that's the story. You have these colorful, larger-than-life personas, and why wouldn't you watch? Why wouldn't you be tuning in on a Saturday night looking around and you see these two guys in the ring? especially what's going on with Savage and what's going on with this DiBiase guy, because they held your imagination. They held they captured what you're looking at, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, captured your attention, captured your imagination. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You look at just this whole presentation of Saturday night's main event and Savage and Elizabeth, so many colors, and it's bright, and lighting, the production of Saturday night's main event.
If you watch DiBiase's punches, DiBiase's chops, everything means something, and these guys are taking their time to let it register. A big boot in the corner by Savage allowed DiBiase now to sell. Randy, although it looks like he's rushing, he's actually taking his time. He's letting DiBiase sell. He's selling. He's registering every turnbuckle, every forearm, every shot. And at this time, people may not have understood what went into this, but what went into this match, especially, is just listening to the crowd, listening to the people. And DiBiase is paying homage here to Terry Funk, Dory Funk Jr. with the spinning toe hold. Mm. And once again, it leads into the next spot. It leads into the next part of the match, which is very, very important. And as I've said, you have Miss Elizabeth, you have Andre, you have Virgil down at ringside. Fighting outside could be a dangerous option for Macho Man, especially because he's outnumbered. But here's the spot.
Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, no, I just say here's the spot where you have the big giant walking over just to protect DiBiase and distract the Macho Man, and there's Virgil with the shot to Randy and being thrown out of the ring, ringside area. So
that's Dave Hebner, right? Yep.
That is Dave. Yeah, I can tell.
You can tell by the paunch there.
Of course. But, you know, again, here's your story going out, and people are paying attention and watching, and it's very, very simple to understand. Virgil's out of here. Andre's going to stay because he hasn't been caught doing anything.
Love the drama.
Yes, and that's what it was all about. So you have a break coming back, and we'll see what happens again with DiBiase and Macho Man.
And we come right back in at perfectly executed timing of the storytelling for television. And he's still telling Andre, get your butt back where it belongs. And Ted DiBiase is now working over Macho Man.
Yeah, what you can tell looking at this match, again, from my viewpoint, they might have known the beginning. They might have known the breaks and the end. But all the rest of this, the in-between, the expressions, the body language, all the in-between is up to Randy and Teddy. They can tell the story. Both these guys understand it's all about selling. It's getting the people emotionally involved. They've set the table now. They've sent Virgil back to the locker room. Liz is still there. Andre the Giant is still on the outside. So we have to wait and see. DiBiase knows now you can't keep going 100 miles an hour. He's got that rear chin lock. He's going to wear Randy down. Again, very simple for people to understand. And the drama exists. You got the big giant against the small princess on the other side, Elizabeth. So
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things involved.
There is.
In this match. Yeah, it really is. And if you notice,
you don't even think about that, but now visually it's there. And part of the story.
And that was exactly, you have to see the story in your head, and then you have to have the, I hate the word characters, but you have to have the personas or characters in line and doing the right things in the ring. So the evil Million Dollar Man, you got the Macho Man, Randy Savage, with the lovely Elizabeth. And then the Million Dollar Man is being guarded by that ogre, that giant. That
stinky giant.
Yes, he is. So it was a very simple story back then. And I don't think there were any better at this time than Savage and Ted DiBiase, who could tell those stories. With Teddy, both these guys could work with anybody. And I've had the pleasure of – I worked with Savage one time in St. Louis in a six-man tag, and he dropped the fall. It was amazing, as talented as he was. Then Ted DiBiase, just as smooth as silk with whoever he worked with in the ring. And that's the mark of a real pro.
It's fun to note here, too. I mentioned this is March of 88. But this, we're getting a preview of WrestleMania 4. This is eventually the finals for the world title tournament in Atlantic City. And so this is another fun little nugget. You're getting a preview for that finals in the tournament of for the WWF vacated WWF title at this point. And here we go. Big ref bump. DiBiase takes out Dave Hebner. And I'm sure this is going to add another element of drama to the match.
Well, you know, I always thought when the referees took bumps and they just got knocked out completely, that was a little bit hard to connect with at times. But it made sense going forward with the story that needed to be told. And here's your giant. He can't do that in front of the referee and not be disqualified. So you had to have the referee down. And you'll watch here in a minute, DiBiase will get in and do his part while Andre destroys Savage on the outside. Liz was fantastic with her facials. And the camera loved her. She knew how to express the emotion of fear and anguish and anxiety. And now running back to the locker room, the announcers are all talking about Liz abandoning the Macho Man, but we'll see in a minute that's not necessarily the case. But the evil giant at ringside is really manhandling Savage at this time, and the people understand. Liz is now gone, and it's just DiBiase, Savage, and Andre at ringside. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out. There's help. There needs to be some help on the way. But right now, Andre is just pointing to the fact that Savage is out on the concrete, and he needs to be counted out. So,
and as we're watching this match, I'm reminded about the whole buildup. This was leading to all of this, and the title being stripped at this time was that main event match where you had the whole Hebner dispute, the referee and the switcheroo and the main event. And that's why this title's up for grab. WrestleMania would be only just a few short weeks away. I know I mentioned that earlier. So, but all of, I say that to say these guys have been involved in a feud for months now. And so this is just all part of that storyline. And here comes Hogan with the chair.
But this was leading up to the Mega Powers, I'm sure, against
we'd get there at SummerSlam.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so this is connecting Hogan and Savage already, and becoming this supernatural force in WWE. And at this time, Hogan was over. So was Savage. And
such a fun time, man. This 88 was such a good year.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great year for WWE. It was still the era, obviously, of Hulkamania and the superheroes.
Yep.
And this is when you had superheroes. These guys look like superheroes. And, you know, if you could call Hulk Hogan or Macho because they weren't playing parts. These guys were those guys. And in the airports, anywhere they went, they looked like megastars. They dressed like megastars. And even in the losing battle, Randy Savage still looks pretty capable of still being a mega superstar. Just after the beating between all three, Virgil, DiBiase, and the Giant, Randy's still able to stand tall. So great match, great storytelling, and I think it was between not only DiBiase and Savage, but you have to count Virgil and Andre and Elizabeth on the outside because they added a hell of a lot to it.
Classic wrestling match between two, as we started, territory guys that really got their polish and training and cut their teeth, if you will, Dr. Tom, in the territories, and were excellent established wrestlers at this point, and they're involved in probably some of the most memorable story times of my childhood. When we think about 1988, you think about Twin Magic, and that's it. I know it's Earl and Dave Hebner in the main event in February. Now we're here, March, Saturday night's main event with an epic match between the two of them, building to that tournament at WrestleMania 4, which would then lead to Mega Powers, brother, for yes. SummerSlam. Just a great match. So thank you so much for dissecting this. This was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. And it's also a look at guys who did pay their dues 10, 15 years before. And now they're on the big stage and there are no missteps. Or if there are, there's very, very few at least. And they get out there understanding the art of storytelling, not doing just the moves. And you can learn, anybody who's even a fan can learn and enjoy matches like this, because it's a simple way to get your point across. And with two guys like Savage and DiBiase, I don't think there were any better during that time.
Absolutely agree. Well, Dr. Tom, this was a fun show, and I'm really excited about what we have on tap for next week. We're going back to world-class championship wrestling. This is a match that got brought up on our Q&A discussion with Dr. Tom. It's Gino Hernandez and Gentleman Chris Adams versus the Von Erichs in a hair versus hair match from October of 1985. I know you're looking forward to that one.
Definitely looking forward to this one. I know all four guys pretty good, and it's an interesting match to say the least, especially looking back almost 35 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be good. So with that, Dr. Tom, your official diagnosis of Savage DiBiase.
I would say watch it twice on Saturday and once on Sunday just to make sure you rinse your mouth out.
I love it. Yes. Okay. Very good. Well, before we close it down, Dr. Tom, how can they follow, help, support you and what you got going on?
Well, you could check out our website at jpwrestlingacademy.com. All the information about JP Wrestling Academy is on there, as well as how to apply and all the other information we have. We have pictures, stories, social media instruction, things like that. So check it out at jpwrestlingacademy.com.
There it is. Well, Dr. Tom, thank you so much for all the analysis, the psychology, and the discussion today for this match. We'll be back again next week for another episode of X-Ray with Dr. Tom.